Wind rips through the crags 1,000 feet above. Nothing moving in this godforsaken town, and the mule skinner knows that something is wrong. 2 miles south stands Bartholomew Packer's mine, the godsend, a 20-stamp mill that should be filling this box canyon with the thudding racket of the rock crusher's pulverizing ore. The sound of the stamps in operation is the sound of money being made, and only two things will stop them: Christmas and tragedy. He dismounts his albino steed, the horse's pinked nostrils flaring, dirty mane matted with ice. The single rig saddle is snow-crusted as well, its leather and cloth components, the mochila and shabrak, frozen stiff. He rubs George's neck, speaking in soft, low tones he knows will calm the animal, telling him he did a good day's work and that a warm stable awaits with feed and fresh water. The mule skinner opens his wallet, collects the pint of busthead he bought at a bodega in Silverton, and swallows the remaining mouthful, whiskey crashing into his empty stomach like iced fire. He wades through waist-deep snow to the mercantile, bangs his shopmaids on the doorframe. Inside, the lamps have been extinguished, and the big stove squats dormant in the corner, unattended by the usual constellation of miners jawboning over coffee and tobacco. He calls for the owner as he crosses the board floor, moving between shelves, past stacked crates and burlap sacks bulging with sugar and flour.
"Jessup, it's Brady. You and back?"
No one answers. The 12 burros crane their scrawny necks in his direction when Brady emerges from the murk. He reaches into his greatcoat, pulls out a tin of Star Navy tobacco, and shoves a chaw between lips and gums gone blackish purple in the last year.
"What the hell?" he whispers.
When he delivered supplies 2 weeks ago, this little mining town was bustling. Now, abandon looms listless before him in the gloom of late afternoon, streets empty, snow banked high against the unshoveled plank sidewalks, no tracks as far as he can see. The cabins scattered across the lower slopes lie buried to their chimneys, and with not a one of them smoking, the air smells too clean. Brady is a man at home in solitude, often spending days on the trail, alone in wild, quiet places. But this silence is all wrong, a lie. He feels menaced by it, and with each passing moment, more certain that something has happened here. A wall of dark clouds scrapes over the peaks, and snowflakes begin to speck the sleeves of his slicker. Here comes the wind. Chimes clang over the doorway of the murk. It will be night soon. He makes his way up the street into the saloon, still half expecting Joss Maddox, the striking barkeep, to assault him with some gloriously profane greeting. No one's there. Not the mute piano player, not a single customer. And again, no light from the kerosene lamps, no warmth from the pot-bellied stove. Just a half-filled glass on the pine bar, the beer frozen through. The path to the nearest cabin lies beneath untrodden snow, and without webs, it takes 5 minutes to cover 100 yards. He pounds his gloved fist against the door. No one answers. The latch string hasn't been pulled in, and despite the circumstance, he still feels like a trespasser as he steps inside, uninvited. In the dark, his eyes strain to adjust. Around the base of a potted spruce tree, crumpled pages of newspaper clutter the dirt floor, remnants of Christmas. Food languishes untouched on a rustic table, far too lavish to be any ordinary meal for the occupants of this cramped one-room cabin. This was Christmas dinner. He removes a glove, touches the ham, cold and hard as ore. A pot sits there, the beans frozen in their broth. The cake feels more like pumice than sponge, and two jagged glass stems still stand upright, the wine having frozen and shattered the crystal cups.